Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. And the sun is shining. Can't take that for granted, can we? But it is summer. I'm going to ask you to put your thinking caps on now and think of someone who you admire, or someone who you think is an example. Just think of someone. I hope most of us can find somebody. You got a name? Okay, now identify in one sentence what it is about that person that you admire. And turn to your neighbor and tell them. Okay. Okay, you found somebody. We all have the people whom we admire and why we do admire them. There's some characteristic, there's some peculiarity in the positive sense of the word there. That individual, maybe they've been an encouragement or they're an example or something like that. Now, as we are Christians, in what way do we embody and enfold the Christian characteristic so that others may look and see and understand? So Paul, in this book of Romans, I was taught many hundred years ago Paul wrote the book of Romans to introduce his theology. And I've always held that. I've changed it a little bit because I think that's true, but at the heart of his theology is a theological concept that he's introducing. And that is the theological concept of righteousness. And righteousness for Paul means belonging to a righteous community. That may sound strange. That righteousness is connected to community. Have you ever heard the concept when the Jewish people announce, say, somebody has saved a large number of Jews from the Holocaust? What do they call them? They give them an honorary title, don't they? What is that title? The righteous. Schindler's List? The righteous. And what are they saying? They're saying that you are one of us. You've been brought under the covenant of Jewishness, if I could use that word. Now, Paul has been arguing a slightly different line. He's saying, yes, we are righteous and we are part of the righteousness, but this is not something that is specifically geared towards an ethnic group. There is both the Gentile and the Jew. In fact, at the beginning of Romans, he tells us that he's writing to the non-Jews, almost uses that word, that they are part and parcel of the righteous group. And then he explains what that's all about. It's all about the mercy and the grace of God. And he comes to the point here in in chapter 12. My iPad switched itself off. So we come here to chapter 12. And Paul reminds us, he's been going through this wonderful grace, this wonderful mercy that is extended to both the Jew and the Gentile alike. A wonderful concept of faith that originates and is seen in Abraham and flows out into the whole church. And he brings it together in wonderful words of a doxology in chapter 11. When he looks and says, yes, we are part of the righteous, he can only break forth in praise. I'll read it to you, if I can find it. Oh, here it is. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgment and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. So Paul concludes by all that business in the first 11 chapters of Romans, and he responds with praise. But he doesn't just end there, does he? He moves on. He says, therefore, if we are the praising community, if we are part and parcel of the righteous, therefore, and he moves on. And he gives us, in a sense, three characteristics of what should mark out the righteous people. The first is in terms of worship and relationship with God. Verse 1. The second is about ourselves, our thinking and our attitude. We have a changed mind. And the third has to do with our relationships with each other in the righteous community or the community of righteousness. So what does Paul then say about worship here? He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And we had that passage this morning. Takes us right to the heart of the righteous people. And what were the righteous people doing? Right from the beginning, they were classified as a priesthood, weren't they? Exodus. They were called out to be God's chosen people. God says this through Moses in Exodus, you will be for me a kingdom of priests. A holy nation. That is the characteristic of the righteous people. And this is the characteristic of the righteous people in the New Testament. They are those who offer themselves. And that word to offer is a very interesting word. It's a past completed action that has present implications. It's a unique characteristic of the Greek language. In other words, what Paul is saying is this. He's saying, having offered yourselves, live in the light of that offering. Do you see that? I have decided to follow Jesus. There is the volition. There is the mind. There is the decision that is ours to make through the power of the Spirit of God and as a product of the grace of God. And we respond. He says, offer yourselves. This is our constant state of mind. We have decided to follow Jesus. And the Hausa would use the word chikana. Perhaps we would use the word full stop, or the Americans would use the word period. You get the idea? That's the fundamental characteristic of the righteous. They offer their bodies. Now, this doesn't mean now that I don't smoke or that sort of thing. We've all heard that sort of, my body is the temple of God. Yes, I know that. But again, what is Paul saying as we offer our bodies as living sacrifices? He's saying this, that the quality of our ongoing relationships with our fellow human beings demonstrates the reality of the grace of God. You see, a body for the Hebrew mind is an expression of the inner person. There's not a separation here, not a duality here. We show ourselves, we demonstrate ourselves, and this is a living sacrifice. And I suppose there he was thinking of the dead sacrifices that the Romans would make, or even the Jews themselves would make. But this sacrifice, yes, it is an expression of our settled disposition. And we live in that space. We are showing the reality of the grace of God in our lives. That's what Paul is saying. Offer your bodies to be a living, a reasonable. I love that. We are not talking about ecstatic falling about. We're not talking about simple ritualism where something must be done in a certain way. In Africa, often people will say, why is my child sick? They go to the witch doctor, and the witch doctor says, aha, it is because you didn't sacrifice the goat in the right way. Do you see that? No. This is a living, reasonable sacrifice. It requires the mind. And Paul is going to move into that direction in the very next verse, which we will come to. So the first thing, the first characteristic, is our Godward direction. We are those who are offering ourselves, our lives, our living space. You know, we've heard that dreadful saying when some people say they're a waste of space. No Christian is a waste of space because they live out the reality of the righteous. And that is as we said, a living sacrifice. And this is where we turn to another aspect of the characteristic of our lives, where he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There is something new that's taking place. Like that moth, you know, that grub that makes a chrysalis? Do we still have silkworms? Do kids still get silkworms? Well, I haven't seen them for a while. But anyway, you know, they make that chrysalis, and then out comes the moth. We are being transformed. And where are we being transformed? In the attitude of our mind, in the way we think, the way we relate, and the way we conduct ourselves. There's a change in our mind, but there's also a change in our relationship with one another. Verse 6, he says this. Verse 3, but by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself in sober judgment. I've changed my attitude. And as I change my attitude, I change my attitude towards my fellow living persons. Don't think of ourselves more highly, but think of ourselves as those who are saved by the grace of God. I can hold on to someone else when I let go of myself, when I am freed, because I know in my heart and I know in my life that I am indeed one of the righteous. I am one God is holding. And as I appreciate that God is holding me, I then can reach out to hold someone else. So we come back to this. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices. We have a changed mind and a changed attitude towards ourselves. And we can reach out as the righteous to demonstrate that righteousness in the way we live in the light of God's grace. Amen.